Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 502, I'm welcoming to the show my friend, Julie Fowler.
This is another example, is in church. You're singing these songs, and I remember it'd be a wrestling. Like, better is one day in your courts. Okay, there was a song, better in one day is in your courts, better is one day in your house. And I remember in my mind, I'd be standing in church and that song would be going and I'd go, Lord, I feel like it's not better to be in your course. Like, I want to be a mom. It was this wrestling and being honest with God. And then I can say, but God, help me to see that you're better. So it's just that authentic, you know, being real, even with singing and saying it out loud and saying, I'm going to sing this, but God, you know where my heart is. Help me to match my heart with my words.
Just this week, I had a conversation with someone whose adult child has experienced a miscarriage, and I was reminded that so many are walking through hard things, and just because it's the holiday season doesn't mean hard circumstances don't happen, and almost feels more weighty. I remember losing my dad around the holidays, and it was just like everyone's so busy and you are grieving so greatly. And so today's episode with Julie, I wanted to put out there, yes, I know it's Christmas and I know we're talking about Jesus and his birth, but that can sometimes compound our feelings of isolation around the topic of infertility. So I see you if that's you. I see you if you have a friend or a relative who's walking through it. And you don't know how to support her or her husband. So I want to connect you with Julie. So Julie, let me tell you about her. She is a curriculum writer, speaker, pastoral care leader, and ministry trainer. And through her years of infertility, failed adoptions, multiple miscarriages, premature births, and loss of identical twins, she has taken that pain and devoted herself to helping women and couples find hope through scripture and connection with others who are experiencing a similar trial. She has written 2 new Bible studies. One is called Treasures in the Waiting, Finding God's Comfort, Counsel, and Companionship Amid Infertility and Loss, and then a husband study, Navigating Infertility and Loss with Strength and Hope. We've linked to both in the show notes. She is a wealth of information, and this resource is absolutely beautiful. So I wanted to make sure I put this in my repertoire of episodes. Let's get right to it. Here we go. Julie, welcome to the Don't Mom Alone podcast.
Hi, Heather. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a minute since we've done an episode on this topic. And I know our paths have crossed various friends that we have in common. We're just getting to know each other today. But I know that your story and what you've walked through, you've mentored so many and guided so many, and now you have an official resource to help others gather in groups and process the challenges of infertility and repeat loss, secondary infertility, whatever part of their story and the desire to have children, even the loss of adoptions that don't go the way you plan for them to go. So thank you for joining me today and sharing some of your story. I think we do start with your story. So wherever you want to jump into that, I would love to learn more about you and what you've walked through.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here. And I have such a heart for people dealing with infertility loss and secondary infertility, since that is my story. And I think once you've experienced it, it just stays with you. And through doing this ministry for so long, ministering to women, I mean, we are just sisters for life. So my story is, of course, near and dear to my heart, but it just stays close, you know, and it creeps up in a lot of different ways. But our story is, when we were married about a year and a half, we decided we wanted to start trying for a family. And a lot of the women that we had all gotten married around the same time, we decided together, you know, kind of everybody was trying to have a baby. And I did get pregnant pretty easily for the first pregnancy, and then lost that baby. And then I had another miscarriage. So they were back to back. And then we kept trying, and weeks turned into months, and then months turned into several months. And meanwhile, all those other friends had their babies, and then they're having their one-year-old birthday parties, and then they're starting to try for their second. And so it started to be a really, really hard time. I mean, in addition to grieving the losses of those babies, it was also me starting to really wrestle with my purpose and spiritual questions like, God, I'm praying, and why did you start this life? But I didn't get to hold this baby and have this baby. And yeah, just a lot of spiritual questions. And so that made me dive even deeper into the Bible and try to really figure out, God, what is going on here? And it made me really have to widen my circle of support too, because even though my friends were really supportive and I had a great community group or small group, I also felt like it would be so beneficial to be around some other people who were walking this road. And I didn't know anyone at the time. Mm-hmm. So as I sat still journaling and with my Bible, I just asked God, what do you have for me? Because I felt like life was moving on without me. And I was just kind of missing out and sitting out. And that's when God really led me to start a ministry and a Bible study for other people that were dealing with these issues. Because if I'm wrestling, there's got to be more people. There's just got to be. So that was kind of the start of me reaching out. And also, if I'm wrestling with these spiritual questions, and I've been walking with the Lord for a while, I mean, there's people asking the questions too. So let's encourage one another and let's see what God has to say. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning of that. And really, you know, that wasn't the end of the story. there was a lot more to it. Even after, you know, I had a wonderful support group of other women dealing with infertility and loss, I did get pregnant again. And actually some other women in that Bible study, that infertility Bible study, got pregnant too. But then we lost that third baby. And so it was like a lot of hope started and then another goodbye. And at this point, there's several years that have gone by. You know, I had dealt with anger, I'd say mainly sadness after the first miscarriage. And then the second miscarriage, I started really dealing with anger. And during that, my husband's still pretty hopeful. He's pretty optimistic. And he's like, you know, it'll happen. And then after the third, that's when he started wrestling with some anger. And since I had wrestled with it and processed a lot with journaling and the study and some other friends, I felt like I had moved a little bit through the anger, and then he was dealing with anger. And so we were just always at different places, which was hard. It made the marriage difficult. In some ways that can be good because we weren't both in the pit at the same time, but it also made us feel like we weren't understanding each other, because when he was angry, I was sad. And when he was, you know, it's just all over the place.
It's two unique individuals walking through suffering, and we do it so differently. Most of us do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. How many years was it before you started the Bible study? Like from when you started struggling to when you were like, okay, I need people.
Yeah, I was probably a year and a half in.
That's very impressive, Julie.
Of trying. Yeah.
I mean, that's impressive that you were like motivated to say, I need this. Other people might need this. So I'm going to do a little bravo for gathering people around you.
Well, thank you. I think it's because, Heather, this infertility and loss, it hits you at your core.
Yeah.
And it can bring shame. It can bring insecurity. It can just, you're like, I don't know where I fit in because all my friends are moving on. And in addition to all the other aspects, like it affects you financially, it affects your health, it affects, you know, the intimacy in your marriage. Like there's so many things, and it's hard to not make it become everything. Like you get, you know, someone's, I remember thinking, someone asked me, hey, how are you doing? And I remember thinking, I wanted to just go, there's nothing going on. I'm not pregnant. I'm still not pregnant. And they're just saying, how are you doing? But it was just so top of mind all the time. And as the woman, when you're trying to conceive, you ride this monthly roller coaster. And then if you have a loss or you find out you're not pregnant, it just comes crashing down and you can ride this roller coaster that is just up and down, up and down, up and down. And so I think because it affects so many aspects, I was like, I've got to dig deep. I've got to get support. And again, I want to honor God with this time. And I know God has something for me, but it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
Yeah. So you start the group and then you experience a third loss.
Mm-hmm. And so then while we were trying, you know, we were meeting with different doctors. We actually got a call from this attorney who said there's this birth mother who's about to deliver or is wanting to place her baby. So we had not signed up with an agency. We had actually not looked into adoption, but we scurried around, made a scrapbook. We got a case study done. Like we did all the things super fast. And she chose us and then she changed her mind. Mm. And we were like, what? Like, what? You know, like, okay, this is a little confusing, but we're like, God, you've got this. Like you saw this. I mean, so we were just trying to just go, okay, we're not sure what that was all about, but we're going to keep looking into treatment. Then he called again and said, no, okay, now this one's a done deal because this birth mother cannot keep her child. So again, we turned in all our stuff. We wrote letters to her and she chose us. We loaded the car. We borrowed things because it was going to happen very fast. We called all our friends. We had the car seat. Had to borrow everything because it was so fast. And then she changed her mind too. And she decided she was going to have CPS take the baby and then maybe she could get a family member involved. So it was just again, like, what? So we really at that point felt like we wish we hadn't called everyone and told everyone. And I will say, because it was so fast, God did guard our hearts. Like we weren't so deep for months. Yeah. So that was a protection. And again, we just tried to just go back to what we know to be true. It was very confusing, but we're like, okay, God is up to something. We do not know what he's up to. So after that failed thing, we were like, okay, we're just trying to hold open hands. Like God, if you take us down adoption route, we're fine with that. And if you take us down treatment, so we just kept holding everything loosely. So we went back to the doctor. And I actually got pregnant. We found out on Christmas Eve that I was pregnant with identical twins. Well, later we found out they were identical. But I got to 14 weeks and the doctor found something suspicious. He said, one baby has less amniotic fluid than the other. And I'm going to watch you really closely. And because they were identical, there is this risk for twin-to-twin transfusion syndrome where one gets too much nutrients and one doesn't get enough. So we were on bed rest. And then at 20 and a half weeks, I had a placental abruption where the placenta pulls away. And I thought I was losing my babies right there on the spot at home. But it turns out that I hadn't lost the babies yet, just a whole lot of blood. So they tried to save me and the babies with blood transfusion for me and put me in the hospital. But what had happened was my body was trying to get rid of all the clotting, all the clots, and it sent me into labor. So they were trying to stop the labor, trying to keep those babies in. And at this point, they were still doing great and I could feel them moving. But at 21 and a half weeks, they could not stop the labor. Like my body was just trying to kick out the clots, but it just sent me, you know, to deliver the babies. And so we delivered two twin girls and they were born alive. They were just a week and a half too early. There's the good and the bad. They did not get to go to the NICU to be saved because it was a week and a half too early to do that at that point. But that also meant that we got to be with them. So we got to be with them for 4 hours. They lived 4 hours and we got their footprints. We dressed them in these little gowns. We took pictures. We sang, we read scripture and got to know them. And we named them Annie Grace and Kate Morgan. And it was one of the hardest things, you know, we've ever done. Mm-hmm. To walk out of the hospital without them. So that was really, really hard. And I was pregnant at that point. I was pregnant with other girls in my community group. We were all pregnant with, they were all pregnant with their third, and we all had similar due dates. Like literally a couple of us had the same due date, and four of us were due all around the same time. And so they went on to have their third, and then I'm still just empty arms and incredibly hard, incredibly hard. But I will say, and this is one of these things that I just am so thankful for, and I just want to be an advocate for other people for this, is to have friends that can stand by you and remind you of what is true and know that it's going to be a long, you know, I told my community girls, I said, I'm not going to snap out of this in a month. You know, like, you guys, please stay with me for the long haul. I'm going to have good days. I'm going to have bad days. Please don't forget about my babies, and do not forget about this journey that I'm on. And they didn't, you know, I asked them to ask me specific questions, and they did. Yeah. And they were amazing, amazing friends, but at the same time, they couldn't totally understand. So I was also thankful to have a community of people going through infertility and loss that also understood in a different way.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So I want to hear the rest of your story, and everybody else does, but I do want to pop in here because I think if someone's listening and this isn't their direct story, but they have a friend walking through it, I would love to know, what are some of those questions that you gave them to ask?
Well, the first thing, like I said, is to remind them that I do want you to ask me how I'm doing. Okay. And like I'd said, will you ask me how I'm doing with my loss or how am I doing in my waiting, depending on where I was in my story? Because I wanted them not just to think, I might not bring it up, right? And I might not always want to talk about it, but I wanted to feel remembered and I wanted to feel seen. So I said, will you please ask me? And we were meeting every other week, because we would meet every week as couple, like every other week as couples and every other week as women. So I just said, will you always ask me how I'm doing? And then I wanted to be accountable so that I wasn't just going to be just a mess all the time. So, or just really high maintenance. And so I did say, will you also ask me if I'm journaling? And will you ask me if I'm memorizing scripture? And I had gotten kind of serious about memorizing scripture when this all first, you know, when I first started this rocky road, because I really was desperate. And I just had to be reminded constantly about who God was and that he was at work and that he saw me. And so I said, will you please ask me if I'm memorizing scripture, and you can ask me. And then if one thing that I tried to do on my side was, if I shared the hard or just the realness of where I was, then I also would try to share what I knew to be true. So I might say, I'm feeling really forgotten. I'm feeling very left out. I'm feeling very maybe jealous. And then I would say, this is what I know to be true. I know that God sees, I know that God hears me. I know that he has wonderful plans for me. So I kind of tried to do that. And the reason why is sometimes if someone told me, then it might like,
it doesn't feel as good when someone's telling you what's true.
Well, it's someone tells me it's all in God's timing. Say that maybe. But like, that just feels so invalidating. So it was almost like getting ahead of it. Like, I know God's in control. I know he's at work. I know he sees me. So that I wasn't, it's almost like just trying to come before it. And then there were times that I do know when I was in that period between having the placental abruption and then actually delivering our twin girls, I was really a wreck. So I would say to people, and sometimes I would call friends or text friends, say, will you tell me what's true? I need you right now to tell me what's true, because I can't even get it in my brain. I can't see it. I can't say it. So I might say that to my husband, tell me what's true. And he'd be like, God's not surprised by this. God's got you, you know, like all the things. So I think even as a friend, sometimes it might be even asking, hey, what do you know to be true? Mm. Or if they're stuck, say, can I remind you of what is true?
Yeah.
Instead of just jumping in with it.
So good. So appropriate. Like with 12-step or recovery, if anyone's ever been through that, just not giving people what they need before they've asked for it. Mm-hmm. And I think those are really great. If you are the friend listening, to say, hey, I was listening to this podcast. This guest, this is what she prompted her friends. What would be helpful for me to ask you? Because everyone's going to be even unique in their own processing. I was even thinking, like, throughout your study, you talk about scripture and how God would bring to mind just what you needed to know. And what I love is you have a couple pages where you have all these scriptures, but you give the person reading freedom to say, this one resonates and this one doesn't. Like, I think allowing the Spirit to take in God's word and to minister uniquely to that person instead of just deciding this is what's going to be helpful and comforting to you today.
For sure.
Yeah, no, I think that is – and what you did about sharing, this is how I'm feeling and this is what I know to be true, is that lament that you also help teach people through your study, like David doing it. It feels like everyone's attacking me. It feels like I'm on my own, but I know, God, you are with me. Like, he repeats what's true. And so I just love you modeling doing that in community. Mm-hmm. Here's my communal lament. And yeah, that's really good.
Well, and because a lot of times we're not feeling those things, but we can say them out loud by faith. And so I think
feeling the truths is what you mean.
Yeah. So I might not, you know, like, God is good. And, you know, he says, God, you are good. And what you do is good. Sometimes, I mean, I wrote that on an index card and I would read it out loud. I would say it. And sometimes I, you know, it's hard to feel it when the circumstances aren't necessarily matching at the moment. And so saying it out loud and then having the accountability to speak truth and then say, God, you know, it's like, this is another example is in church, you're singing these songs. And I remember it'd be a wrestling, like better is one day in your courts. Okay. There was a song, better in one day is in your courts, better is one day in your house. Yeah. And I remember in my mind, I'd be standing in church and that song would be going and I'd go, Lord, I feel like it's not better to be in your course. Like, I want to be a mom. It was this wrestling and being honest with God. And then I can say, but God, help me to see that you're better. So it's just that often, you know, being real, even with singing and saying it out loud and saying, I'm going to sing this, but God, you know where my heart is. Help me to match my heart with my words.
I know it's true. Help me believe that it's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Help my unbelief. So you have walked us through a lot of your loss, miscarriage, loss of adoption, loss of two precious baby girls. Julie, my heart hurts. Mm-hmm. This is over the course of how many years are we up to now?
It was about a total of 5 years. And when it had been about 6 months after the birth of our twins, I had not arrived. I had not come to just a perfect place of contentment and surrender and all of that. But I did, you know, we had processed a lot and we went back to the doctor for more treatment. And really on the eve of some treatment, we got a call from a friend. And this friend was an acquaintance, but our church knew our story, especially because I'd led this ministry there. And so we get this call that says, I don't know where you are with the loss of your twins and the adoptions that didn't work out, but there's this baby that's going to be born in 3 to 5 days. Would you be interested in considering parenting this baby? And so we, again, just went to dinner and prayed. My husband and I did. And we've, again, felt led like, God, this is there's a knock on the door. So we don't know, like with the other ones. And so I went to a children's boutique in town and bought a little coming home outfit for the little baby boy that was going to be coming. And I asked her what her return policy was. And I just broke down crying in the middle of the store because I just thought
this had is the representation. So many, you're keeping receipts. You're holding on to receipts. You don't trust that anything is for keeps.
Yes. But got that little outfit. And then sure enough, in just a couple of days, we got a call in the middle of the night. Your baby's about to be here, drive on up. And it was just about like a 45-minute drive from here where the hospital was. And the nurses met us in the parking lot, said, come meet your baby boy. And we were there for the first bath and held him. And I mean, you know, we didn't have anything at that point, right? Well, we had started a nursery for our twins and we had registered. So we had registered actually for the second adoption. So we still had a registry at a store that was still intact. It was about to expire, but it was still intact. It's crazy, 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 the timing. And we had part of a nursery anyway, but we just showed up with hardly anything and then brought home that baby. Just amazing celebration. I mean, our friends, our parents, it was amazing. And that's our first baby boy, and he's now 21. And then we had more losses after him. We had a couple more miscarriages, and then we brought home we worked with an agency and adopted a little girl, baby girl, and brought her home. That was a private domestic adoption. And then I got pregnant again. And after we adopted our second, and this was my seventh pregnancy, and she made it to term. So she was our third. And our kids are exactly 2 years apart, Heather. So we look like tonight's the night.
You like planned it all out. Yeah.
Our kids 2 years apart. I mean, literally like their birthdays are like 5 weeks apart in the fall. And so we look like that couple that just decided, you know, let's time it. But there's so much to the story.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Man. And this whole time, once your adoption went through and then you went through another miscarriage, were you continuing your ministry to those who we're walking through infertility? Or, I mean, I know that that can be a tricky thing. I don't know if you want to talk about that. Like, when people in the group do have a successful pregnancy or a successful adoption, and then the rest of the members in the group are waiting still, it can be complicated.
I do. That's one thing that's tricky is that, you know, I brought home our baby boy and I immediately, and I was part of a group at that point, leading a group, and I immediately felt like I was out of the club.
Yeah. There's this club that you created and that.
Yes. And it's the club that no one wants to be in. It's infertility club, miscarriage club. Nobody wants to be in it. But then once you're in it, you also feel like, okay, I've got the sisterhood and the support. So then I adopted and I felt like I was out of the club and I was on the quote other side, but at the same time, I didn't fit in. I didn't feel like I fit in with all my friends that now have three kids. And I mean, it was just, I kind of felt so caught in between. But I do think that when you establish a bond with people going through infertility, that really does stick. And so I stayed with that group and continue to, you know, either help lead groups, or I wasn't always leading a group. Sometimes it was other people on our team that were leading groups, but you know, some of the friends that I had from the very first group where I had my third miscarriage, they were still some of my close friends.
Yeah.
And because we just had this connection.
Yeah.
And I do think too, sometimes if you're going through secondary infertility, where you might have one child, but you're wanting more, or maybe you have two and you're wanting three, you can feel like you're in that same tweener land and you kind of just don't fit because you love the child or children that you have, but you might be longing for more and you're not able to for, you know, whatever reasons. And it can be hard to find your place and to feel like you fit in anywhere. And so, I mean, that's, we do encourage people in our groups to stay in, and we encourage people to come, you know, even if it's secondary infertility, because that's still significant.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Oh, it's complicated. Mm-hmm. This broken world is complicated. You have created, when did you decide that you wanted to create an actual study for not just women, y'all? There is a men's Bible study too, that it's a 6-week men's Bible study for the husbands out there who this is impacting, and it's impacting your marriage. But when did you decide, okay, beyond groups, I want something tangible?
So my heart from the very beginning was, I don't want just a support group where we come, we all dump on each other, and then we walk away kind of even heavier than before, because I had been to a group like that. I had been to a group where everybody came and shared their story, but then we're just like, oh my gosh, now I'm carrying not only my sadness, I'm carrying everybody's sadness. And so really from the beginning, even before, so I felt, you know, when I felt God calling me to start this, it was about a year and a half before I had the first group. And in that time I developed this curriculum. And so we've been using it for a long time, but I've just recently revised it, updated it, and just added the beautiful photos.
Oh, it's so pretty, y'all. You don't even know. I mean, the guys is very manly, but
yes.
So the beauty and the like depth and the spaces to write in, mm-hmm. y'all, I've never seen a Bible study like it. I'm not just saying that. I get a lot of Bible studies mm-hmm. sent my way. And so mm-hmm. it's really pretty. The women's is an 8-week study, but yeah, it's really pretty.
Yeah, so I really felt like, you know, going deep with the Lord and then being in a group, being able to share what God's telling us and showing us was the heart, so that we come out stronger. We feel equipped. And, you know, we never know how long our journey is going to be. We might be in a little window and we might, you know, be able to get pregnant and then move on, or it might be years, right? So I wanted it to be rich enough that someone could do the study more than once. And, you know, I led it over and over, and yeah. I was always in a different place. I was old, you know, how we can read a section of the Bible and God just shows us something so fresh and so new. So I wanted it to be rich, but we didn't do a men's study. We didn't develop a men's study until about 2018. And so we were doing a draft for a few years, kind of pilot groups with the men's. And then we just really made them all just amazing. Fancy and beautiful and rich. And so now they're published and available. And we want to equip the women and expand. So a lot of times we want our husbands to totally understand, and we want our husbands to feel the way we feel, and they just can't. And so being able to widen the circle to women and who can understand, it takes a lot of pressure off of the marriage, because then it's like, okay, the women get me. And then same thing with the men, sometimes they don't even know. They just want their wife back, but they don't necessarily how to process their own side of what's happening, and they don't know how to lead their wives. And so we want to both help the men process what they're dealing with and also equip them to lead well and to come alongside their wives well. So that was the heart behind the men's and women's study, because the women were equipping, we're giving them just great truth about God and his character and how to navigate relationships and how to navigate decisions. But let's say the woman is really equipped to make decisions and is wrestling, you know, working through all this stuff. But then the guy is still like, well, I don't know, just you make the call, you go to the appointment and you figure it all out. That's not really great for unity. So being able to equip both, both spiritually and just practically, is really helpful.
And I would just say, like, it's been a few months for me of a lot of loss, grief, whether it's a child going to college, which, you know, that's exciting, but also sad, mm-hmm. loss, friends passing away, children's friends passing away. Reading through your first week of the study, which is on grief and God's comfort, was really helpful to me. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all, this isn't just, I don't say, it's not just for infertility that publishers would tell you write to a specific group and then mm-hmm. you'll meet their needs, but then you might hit others. Well, I was hit on the others side of that. And then there's a whole section on decision-making, like you said, mm-hmm. like 10 questions to ask yourself, because I do know that can be a complicating part of this journey, is you're making major decisions, ethical decisions, mm-hmm. Financial decisions. It's not for the faint of heart to walk through this. And so even to get that equipping, if there's mm-hmm. any purpose that comes through what you're walking through, I just think this study of guiding people through that is really, really valuable. I don't know. So good. And so we talk about the marriage strain and the differences. Is there any advice you would give in our last few minutes to moms who are walking through this when it relates to their spouses? I think we've kind of said, like, they will be different and there will be challenges, but was there anything specific that you found helpful?
Yeah, I think that I have several ideas. One is, recognizing the differences and that is very normal. Like, you know, men and women are going to navigate this differently. And I think maybe coming up with or reading different resources, which one book that we love is called When Empty Arms Become a Heavy Burden by Sandra Glahn. You had her on your podcast.
Love Sandra Glahn. Yes.
She's amazing. And she and Dr. Couturier wrote a book. And there's just some chapters in there that just, it makes you feel like you're not crazy. And so I think, you know, we have with our Bible study group for infertility and miscarriage, we also have panel nights. And so with the panels, the men can hear other women speak on the panel and they're like, oh, my wife's not crazy. She's not the only one. And so I think just being able to give resources so that people know that they're not alone in that. And then also one big thing we ask our couples to do is to have a conversation about what are some of the biggest losses for you, mm-hmm. and really talking about that, because some people it's different. It's the genetic connection. Whereas another person might not care about that at all. And some of that's mm-hmm. cultural, some of it's not. I know one couple where the husband, I mean, it's if the child's not genetic, that's it. We're not mm-hmm. adopting. And whereas my husband was like, I'm fine. I mean, that's great to adopt because I don't have that strong pull. And then so finding out the loss, whether it's genetic, whether it's the physical experience of pregnancy and nursing, the joint conception of a child, that I just want to have this baby with you and have maybe our babies look like either one of us or both of us. For some people, that's a huge thing. For some people, it's not. Some people don't love the idea of being pregnant, or maybe they've been pregnant and didn't love it, or they're really not really into babies. They would love just to start with the toddler stage. And I mean, I had a friend like that who she said, you know, I could skip over the whole pregnancy, nursing, baby stage and just start with toddlers and I would be fine. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that is so the opposite of me. You know, I was just the opposite. So I think just talking through that and trying to come to an understanding of what's important. And sometimes it's not like you can necessarily do anything about it, but it definitely helps you understand each other better. And then the other, we talk about giving each other space to talk about it, but maybe limiting it. So one thing in the book is, and actually it's in Sandra Glahn's book, is the 20-minute rule. Oh. A social worker came up with that. And so you decide we're going to talk about it 20 minutes, and it can be 20 minutes a day. For some people, that might be, are you kidding? Like every day? And then some women were like, only 20 minutes? So it kind of just depends on where you're coming from. So for the person who wants to talk about it all the time, it gives them some limits. And for the person who just never wants to talk about it, at least it gives some. So there's some communication strategies like that that can be really, really helpful. And then I guess one other thing is to communicate with your spouse what some of your triggers are. And so, you know, for example, I think getting Christmas cards is really hard when you're dealing with this. So, you know, that might be a conversation with your husband. And so he might say, can I get the cards first? And I'll hold them for a day. Either you're ready for it and maybe today's a good day and you want to open them, or filter them out where some families that you know super well, it's not going to be anything, but other people, or maybe it's the babies. Like, I don't want to see the babies. I can see the older kids. You know what I mean? So just those are kind of strategies. Or maybe your husband can actually go on the registry and buy the baby gift registry. Yeah. Or you can get a friend to go with you. I mean, there's things that sometimes we just feel like we have to do. Mm. And we don't realize, wait a minute, maybe my husband could even get the text when someone's pregnant. You know, the texts don't have to, or the news maybe can come to my husband first in our friend group. Maybe I can say, hey, will you guys, before announcing a pregnancy to our friend group, will you text my husband first that he can share it with me separately? And then we can process it and then we can rejoice. Because we want to be friends that rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn, but it gives a little bit of space. So I think just giving sometimes strategies and some actually open communication about what is hard can really help people instead of just muddling through and reliving every Christmas and just being really hard, or every time that baby announcement comes in the mail. So
I think it's smart just to be aware, be a little self-aware of where do my emotions tank? When am I impacted, and to set a good boundary and communicate. What I've heard you over and over throughout this talk is like, You're communicating. You're communicating to your friends. These are the questions I need to ask me. You're communicating with your spouse. And it's not complicated, but it does take intention and awareness and setting that up. That's super helpful. I know sometimes we've told in this episode people what ideas for questions they can ask. What advice would you have on things not to say?
At least is never good. So you never want to say.
Oh, that's like the Brené Brown.
Yes. That's at the Brené least. Brown. That's across the board with any situation, right? Anything bad that happens, you don't want to say at least. And so, I mean, it can even be as at least you have insurance or at least, I mean, I think as a friend, a lot of times we want to put on a silver lining, but it comes across as invalidating. And so I think the more of, I'm just so sorry. I'm so sorry. How can I help? One thing that one friend did that was just so sweet is she would just send me a postcard. I mean, I know people don't really send postcards, but we can. I mean, why not, right? Just a little note or a little note that just says, praying for you today. Mm. I think especially after a loss, sometimes it can feel like life moves on or, you know, chronic infertility that goes on month after month. So just even a note that says, I still see you and I'm thinking about you. Mm. I think as a friend to announce a pregnancy or a gender reveal, things like that in front of that other person without any advanced notice is really not loving. And so your friend wants to rejoice with you. She really does. But in a group setting and caught off guard, it just puts that person at a real disadvantage to love you well when she really wants to. Yeah. So I think just giving the space to do it. And I think too, like if you're going to invite your friend to a one-year-old birthday or a baby shower or a gender reveal, to maybe put a little note on there that says, hey, you know, I would love you there. You know, I would love for you to be there, but I also want you to have total permission to not be there. And I know you love me, you know, something like that, where you just communicate, you think the best and you know, she wants the best for you, but you're also giving her a little out.
Having friends that think the best of you. Mm-hmm. Is such a gift. Well, Julie, I love what you've created here. I love how you've taken the story you've walked through and you have given it purpose and you are helping countless numbers of couples. And this is just going to expand the reach of that ministry. Tell everyone, I know we've linked to it in the show notes, but your website and where they can, we'll put a link to these two studies. And if there's any way they can get additional support from you on that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Heather. My website is juliefowlerministries.com. And we have the men's study and the women's study. And we also have leader guides for each one. So people can grab a friend or grab a group or start it at their church, and they're on Amazon. So you can look, the women's study is called Treasures in the Waiting. And with that study, then it'll show you all the other ones that I offer.
So great. So thankful for you. Thank you for joining me and for all that you do to love women well.
Thank you, Heather. Loved being here.
A lot of wonderful thoughts, nuggets, reminders for our own grief journeys and how to walk alongside others who are grieving. Definitely the feel your feelings and remind yourself what is true about God. That 20-minute rule is very interesting. Having your note cards ready. If you are walking through grief, letting your friends know what is helpful and to be that friend. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, we know this is a broken world and we know how much you love us. We know how much you care for us. We know that you are capable of healing and bringing life in all circumstances. And yet death is a part of our reality. Loss is a part of our stories. And I am incredibly grateful that in those places, you are the great comforter, that you don't leave us alone, that you have filled us with your presence through the power of your Holy Spirit. And that gift came because Jesus came, because Jesus was willing to step into our worlds, to take on human flesh, to give up heaven for us, and remind us of how much you do love us. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that you are acquainted with grief. You are acquainted with loss, that you are not some distant, far off God. We thank you that you come near. And I pray that in whatever the person listening is walking through, whatever loss they're walking through right now, that they would invite you in to that place, to not hold you out as the cause of their pain, but to be the one who helps heal them in that painful place. I pray that we would be friends who are filled with the Spirit and see the needs of those grieving around us, that we would check on the ones who have experienced loss and be your hands, your feet in those places. I pray over everyone's Christmas and time with family and all that this season brings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all, we have one more episode for the year, and it is with Dr. Morgan Cutlip, and it is about mental load and how to identify our needs as moms and express them with confidence. And I'm really excited to share her with you. So join me back here next week for our last episode of 2024. All right. Adios. Merry Christmas.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.